Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man. Shit is crazy, y'all. Like, what am I gonna do? I found a new job.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we are having some shift drinks.
Shift drinks?
Yeah, well, proverbially. I mean,
thirsty.
It's 11 in the morning, but we're having the proverbial round table, if you will.
Yeah, we got a guest in the house.
Yes, we do. We have Omar Irasso.
Yes.
Did I do your name justice?
It's just fine. Honestly, I've never even gotten it. I've just relegated myself to say Irasso right now because that's it. It sounds different in Spanish. It's Irasso. But who's going to go through all this? So Irasso is perfect. Thank you so much.
I thought I rolled my R, no?
No. What I'm saying is just like, over the years, I didn't even bother saying it.
It's like when I get Marlin, you know, like the fish, I just go with it, you know, because keep it moving.
I think I might have saved your name with an I. I was fine. In a rush and I put with an I.
But it sounds the same.
Yeah,
Marlin. You know? As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people? How are y'all doing out there today?
Oh, what a wacky weekend, bro.
Ha!
You know, I asked Omar to join us for the podcast. We haven't had a guest in a long time. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a few guests coming through. So, you know, you're the first. And I tell you what, man, it's a little different dynamic, which is good. And, you know, Danny and I have been doing the two-step for quite some time. And the impetus of this show is like, it's not a full moon, but a new moon. I don't know if it means anything, but
it means what it means to you.
It was a weird weekend, man.
Okay,
man. I just want to talk about people.
Hey, thank you for having me, by the way. I appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, no problem, man. No problem. And so I know this is more of a round table and not necessarily an interview, but tell everybody about your history in the restaurant biz, man.
Well, I've been in the restaurant business my entire life, pretty much. Wow. I started when I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. I started at Boston Chicken, actually.
Oh, okay.
But before it turned into Boston Market, that's how old I am.
It was called Boston Chicken?
Yeah, they ended up diversifying, selling meatloaf and turkey and other little, you know, everything. So they figured they got themselves pigeonholed into just saying chicken. Mm. And then there was like Kenny Rogers Chicken at the time. So I think they felt like they wanted to separate themselves from that.
Gotcha.
And then from there, I just kind of went on, and then I started waiting tables at a little Italian place out west, and then from then on I've been a general manager. I've run nightclubs, and I've done a little bit of everything in the hospitality industry.
Nice. So, across the spectrum.
What's your favorite arm, or it's hard to say favorite, but I mean, I guess it's a question. So
My favorite job ever?
Well, your favorite arm in the restaurant. Like you said, you've been a GM, you've been
That's a little bit of a crapshoot. I think that I have two. Honestly, the current job that I have now is honestly spectacular because of the amount of hours that I work. Mm-hmm. Is just, and it's a, like, you kind of run your own business. Feel like that. You got to, if you do your job, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. If you don't do your job, then, you know, that's a problem. The other one, yeah, that's going to be a problem. But the other one was running the nightclubs. When I ran the nightclubs, it was just, the fringe benefits are incredible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have access to a lot of, you know, people, and, mm-hmm. you know, always someone's trying to win you over. You know, you get this situation where people are drinking heavily, and then you have like 32 security guards that just walk official for you around the entire place. Like, you're like the president of the United States. It's a feeling that I can't explain to you. Like, you're the boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been at the boss in other situations, but nothing like that. It was like, you're, it was like a god in there.
Yeah.
And it's just a really great spot. So yeah, I know a little bit about it and I'm happy that I'm able to talk to you about it with it.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a fascinating industry because it has so many facets to it. You know, we talk about just one part of it, serving for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
You know, and the goal throughout our time here, you know, I want to talk to wine people. I want to talk to dishwashers. I want to talk to bussers, you know, because, you know, everybody has, you know, at our place, my current place, I learn a lot from this one particular busser, you know. And he's so efficient, and he thinks about absolutely every aspect of things. And the way that he teaches, and I've learned so much from him, and the way he teaches, he says, hey, you know, if you want to think about a different way of looking at it, it's up to you. And, you know, he doesn't say, hey, do this or do that or think. He shows you why, and it sticks with you because it's like, why not do, you know, what works, what's best.
I feel it's safe to say that we work together. So yeah. I don't know. We have not had a conversation beforehand about this, and I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's ironic that you say it that way, because I know, but I was like, who's he talking about? And the person that we're talking about is on vacation right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw
your mind working.
Yeah, I'm trying to do math. I'm like, who could he possibly be talking? And then as soon as he was kind of out of sight, out of mind for the moment. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you said that, I go, oh, I know exactly who he's talking about.
Yeah, his name's Pedro, and dude is
incredible.
Incredible. Wow. You know, and he has wealth of knowledge in the business too.
Absolutely. And specifically, he's got a wealth of knowledge, but also in that place, he knows it so well, like the back of his hand. Yeah. I mean, he's just an old hat at that.
Yeah, he's a problem solver, and he's a glue guy.
Okay.
You know?
He brings it together?
Yeah, he's a glue guy. Because, you know, when we talked about that, the different positions in the restaurant, mm-hmm. You know, top guy, cool guy. We didn't get to glue guy.
Yeah.
But he's the glue guy. He's the guy that you want to know how do we fix this? Or what's the best way to do this and things like that. The dude's he's a seafood for sure, man.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you have anybody like that? And do you have a glue guy at your place?
I'm the glue guy.
Oh, right. Wow.
You are. Especially with like computers and like sound system. Man, I've seen you come in on your day off.
Yeah.
I said, oh, the audio's not working. Call Danny. I was like, man, I'd be hanging up that phone.
True.
Yeah, you've set up and I leave and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, I can't get this this thing, you know, to work or whatever. And you are the glue guy. Glue guy over here.
That's awesome.
And so when you said, I was like, wow, it kind of sounds like me. Get on my head.
So I mentioned a strange weekend, man. How'd you find this weekend, Omar?
I was exhausted.
Yeah.
This morning, last night, I was walking home and I was kind of like waddling. I mean, I gained weight super fast to begin with. So what happened was I just didn't pay attention for a couple of weeks and I'm just hammering away. And then this weekend just... I was exhausted. I worked a double on a Sunday, and the brunches at the place I work at are just jam packed full of walking around.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I clocked 14 miles one day.
Oh, wow.
On a very busy lunch, and then this a short dinner service. It was just a short, maybe 2 hours at the most, and it was 14 miles. And you know, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it adds up. So I got home, I took a shower, and I passed out.
Yeah.
And I woke up this morning, I was still tired. And then, you know, just a little stressful, but that's, you know, pretty much for me on that side. The last thing I remember just is exhaustion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doubles killed me, man.
Yeah.
It's good money. But it's a long day, man. It chips off your soul, you know. And I'm wrecked. I'm wrecked all day on Monday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a recovery. The Monday is a recovery. And thank goodness for now that we're lucky enough that Monday we're closed. Because if I had to come in, even if it was for two tables, I'd be struggling. I'd be very much struggling. And I feel like, you know, the length of the shifts, and it's not beneficial for either the business or for ourselves a lot of the time, unless you're really in that really great shape where you're like mentally, or we have somebody that works with us that is really does them all the time.
All the time.
And I look at him as like a god because I go, I couldn't do what you do.
I pop them up all the time. Yeah. I go, I don't want those shifts.
No. It's a pot. No, like if I did one a week, which would I would say Sunday, because those are the ones that most people want to, you know, go watch football or go to church or do whatever they do on a Sunday, with their family. And I'm like, oh, I don't really need those things. And
yeah.
I can be there on those days. So I would definitely say that those shifts at the beginning of the shift, you're fired up, you're able to do it. As the day progresses, there's a degradation. Whether it be emotional or physical or whatever, you're struggling.
No, you start to burn out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get like, like I said, you start the shift and you're strong. You're kind of moving along.
Oh, I got this.
I used to work a lot of doubles. So,
yes, you did. You're kind of moving
along and you're like, you're in it. You know what it is. And then throughout the course of the day, something happens. It chips away at you a little bit.
Yeah.
Chips away a little bit more. And then by the end of your shift, you're just a mean person, yo.
I don't know. Within the first hour yesterday, bro. Because I thought I was you saved me from a double yesterday. I thought I was the man, right? To work it. So then I'm going at it, and I come in. I got my pep in the step. Yeah. I got my full load. You know, I bring my containers and stuff like that. And the hostess goes, you have a call party. It's so and so." I was like, "Oh, I don't even want them." You know, and I was like, "Oh, all right, fine." And they wore me out. And the guy even noticed. He's like, "Oh, your energy changed." I'm like, "You think?"
That's funny that you mentioned that. I find it that call parties that I don't like, I don't even care about the money aspect of it. Sometimes they are exhausting because their expectations are so unbelievably high. Yeah. And then you feel now, I'm like, oh, am I giving them enough attention? Yes, you feel obligated to give them even more attention
than the last. Yeah, and you got to build on what you talked last, spoke about last time.
Yeah. Yes, he's like, oh, how's your daughter? I go, I don't even remember her.
So. Yeah, I just want to get going. I want to get onto the next one. And they're like, okay, we have it. So it's like sometimes it's like two tables. That two top, it feels like two tables to me. And then they moved.
Why did they move?
It's too loud here.
Oh, gosh.
So I had to move them to the dock.
Oh, my God. So I did see you there.
So now my other table gets sat. So now I'm, like, extended.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? And then that's the table that needs more attention anyway.
Yeah.
And they're farther away. They're out of your realm.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And that place is sprawling. I know. It's sprawling with lots of obstacles in your way.
Yeah.
You know, those curtains to go outside, the staircase to go out. Heaven forbid you have a tray or have to carry a chair. Everything.
That's so funny you say, like, obstacles, because it reminds me of, like, one of those Spartan races. You know, it's sprawling, but you got to go under shit, over stuff. You know what I mean? It's
like... All we're missing is the mud.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess my weekend, it started Saturday, right? And I get this table, and they're talking about, like, you know, as soon as I hear plastic silverware and it's black people, I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, look, man, our plastic silverware isn't wrapped. I know what you're after. Can we get a glass of hot water? Can we, like, dispel the myth? I want to get on a PSA and say it does not sterilize your silverware, okay? It doesn't do anything for your silverware. If you want warm... you know, feeling on your knife and fork.
The illusion.
Yeah. You're so right. It is the illusion, but it's stupid. Okay? It doesn't do anything. In fact, it's probably worse.
It's funny you mentioned this because I thought about doing a personal video on this particular topic. But the way that I handle it with the guests is kind of, I don't know, not as nice. I pretend I don't even know I can't even imagine you would ask me such a thing. I go, what would you need this for? Every time I act incredibly surprised, even though I know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Do you have some hot water? I go, would you like it in a coffee cup? Are you going to drink it? What are we doing? Oh, well, I want them to tell me why that is.
Yeah.
And then
you want to wash yourself over.
Yeah. And me have the courage one day to tell them, listen. I go, if you don't trust the silverware, don't trust the plates, don't trust the glasses, because if I want, there's places that I've been to that I go, I walk in and I go, not for me.
Yes.
Not for me. Yes. I sooner go to a place that sells me something in a disposable plastic solo cup mm-hmm. than me go in there and drink out of their plastic tumbler that's been washed 100,000 times and had cracks and
crevices. Yeah.
I'm out.
Yes.
So one day I'm going to have the courage to tell you, listen, if you don't trust those, you know, you better ask me for plastic plates and plastic spoons.
And make it yourself.
And yeah, no, yeah. And you know, and I exactly. Because again, everything in the kitchen also was washed by that same dishwasher. That
yeah.
That was the mic drop.
You're making, that is an excellent point. You're making a leap of faith. And we all do. I take a leap of faith when I go to a restaurant. So I don't really even, pour over those machinations because... Hey, if you want to take it, you made a great point. The dishes, the glassware, the ice.
Oh, the ice. Okay. Ice is a huge
one. Like, first of all, I got a big problem with ice everywhere I go.
Well.
You know how that ice is. Okay, people, I'm not going to bust your bubble if you're not in the restaurant business. But, you know, when you're the journey of the ice. That should be a whole, like, little mini documentary because... how it's scooped and handled and what goes into to retrieve the ice and things like that. If you only knew.
That's very questionable. It's very questionable.
It's very
questionable. Every time I do something, I go, oh my God, I hope somebody's doing the same thing. Because I do try to do the right thing all the time.
I try to do the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's times where, you know, I find it that we do things that, oh yeah, it's fine for me to do, but I go, no, it's not for me. It's just for a guest that I'd like to come back, and I wouldn't want somebody to do this to me.
Exactly.
So even though I know my hands are clean, doesn't mean that they should be subjected to my, you know, wishful thinking of myself or how great I think that, oh, I'm fine, I'm clean.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it should work. But ice, you're absolutely right, man. Especially, you know, in certain operations that need a ton of ice. You know, there was a lot of places don't need that kind of, tons of ice.
Oh, we got...
We
have three ice machines?
Yeah, it's incredible. And then we buy tons of it.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We go through a lot of ice. And so if you're that worried about the silverware people, just bring your own.
True, like
Chinese
absolutely.
People bring their own friggin' chopsticks all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so... put them in your girl's purse or whatever. Keep them in the car because you're wasting your time. You're not doing anything. But Danny, you're right. It's I guess it's the illusion.
Yeah.
Do you find that there's a little hypocrisy there as well, though? Like there's so much needless, oh my God, I can't eat off of the forks that you've provided. But then there's other things that they do that you're like,
What is the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference between this and that? So, like, the same people that are concerned about using plastic silverware are getting and walking around and taking pictures with their masks off with zero concern whatsoever.
Those same people walk in with their masks off and forget they don't even have the mask on them.
No, oh, yeah.
Yeah. it's silly. And so I also had a table and... They ate the whole, that we had a whole fish special mm-hmm. and they ate the entire thing and then bitched that it had like the gills were still on it.
I heard about that. Right? Yeah.
You're at the end of the fish.
No. You are at the end.
Like they ate the bones too?
Dude, they didn't eat all that was left was the bones. And he was leaning back like complaining. It's like at some point you look bad. You know what I mean? Because
it's a whole fish.
If it weren't that important to you, you would have checked.
Absolutely, but it's a whole fish. There's going to be bones in it. They're going to be. It's not a fillet. If it says whole fish, you know you have work in front of you.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the thing was, they were a little annoyed that they're from the Caribbean, and I've never heard this before. The gills need to be taken out of the fish before you fry it, because that's what they filter everything through. And
okay, then why'd you order that fish?
I think there's like a standard protocol from my understanding of like just filleting a fish.
Yeah.
You remove the guts and the stuff.
All that stuff, yeah.
I have never in my life ever seen gills removed from a fish in order to fry it. And I've had it all over the world. Mm-hmm.
You know? Especially if you're saying it's a whole fish.
Yes.
It's not part of the fish.
No.
Like people, if you know that, I've had people say, hey, you know, I like the, but can you take the head off? Of course we can. Of course. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, they were kind of fishing for something to some kind of
really
yeah because once and I'm a straight faced dude, man, you can't get me at all, you know. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting, and I'm cleaning the table, you know. I'll listen, but I won't give it any energy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's how I handle it, because if you're like, oh my, then they feel more empowered and empowered. I just, you know,
if they ask a dumb question, they get a dumb look.
Well, they're looking for you to bite, and they create that now dialogue where I'm like, oh, well, that's unfortunate. You know, well, now you know for next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's a thing that happens in the restaurant industry, and I think it has to do with, well, there's certain levels of it. So, like, if you look at the fast food industry, we don't care what you thought about that burger. If you didn't like it, let us know. We'll get you another one. We'll refund your money. Mm-hmm. That's okay when you're selling burgers that are, you know, probably cost you 50 cents to make. But when it's a piece of lobster or a crispy, you know, I don't know, whatever, European sea bass, that's a completely different ball game.
For sure.
Yeah, and people can't just be just, oh, I tasted it and I didn't like it. Go take your $60 fish back and go, that's not how that works.
No.
You and the thing is, we go, oh, I want to try, I'll try that mojito. I go, sure, you're gonna try at your expense. Tried it and you didn't like it.
Get that something else you like next was time.
Was it? Yeah, absolutely. Get something that you know you trust. I go, it's not my, you know, I like avocado. You might not like avocado. It is not for the restaurant to pay for you to decide whether you like avocado or not.
True.
Okay, so you tried it, you know, it's not for me. I won't order it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. But we can't, the restaurant business is in the taste testing business.
Yeah. Yeah, it ain't a try it market.
No, you know, absolutely not. Get out of here. People abuse the system, and they're accustomed, and or also maybe they're accustomed to that Burger King, McDonald's mentality of everything is just so cheap. Don't worry. They'll take it off. I've heard people say that. Yeah, they'll just take it off the check. I go, what do you mean?
I think people are amazed when we don't take stuff off the check.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I'm taking off it, if it was made in
improperly. Absolutely.
Improperly.
Absolutely.
You know, under, like, you know, if your fish was undercooked, you know, hey, you know, but if it's made perfectly or that drink is made perfectly, you know.
Even if it was made according to our specifications.
Yeah.
We sell this drink this way.
Yeah.
If it was made improperly, then just like you said, we either correct it or we'll take it off.
Oh, by the way.
What's that?
Same table. Oh, she didn't like her drink. Like, it was a ton of that. Like, I was like, okay. But I could forgive that because of the markup and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's a markup. What's the markup? Like, if you look at what a liquor license goes for, what everything costs, there's, you know, it's not, like, are you comparing like a Chili's martini versus a higher? They're not much. A couple dollars more is not worth somebody just saying, hey, it's, you know, just take it off the check.
You're right. But we're kind of bent over because it's like, at that point, it's the beginning of the experience. And you want it to at least go well for some time.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, you acquiesce and you don't really want to strong arm people into like, oh, well, you know, you could give it to your friend or something, but you're paying for it. It's
the hassle's not worth the headache.
Deal. Yeah. And then, absolutely. You know, you don't really want to put them off. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that we have to do, you know. But yeah, that same table. And it was just a bunch of... It just set me off. I was like, man, I got to talk about this.
You had to let it out.
Absolutely. You know, venting's good.
Let it out. You know,
what are the things that I found this weekend that if you want to, you were telling me you were having issues. I did have issues, and it was at the beginning now that I remember.
We had been
transitioning from, you know, COVID. We had went from like all this restraint, and then we gradually kind of...
Got some freedoms.
You got some freedoms, and now it's like... We're out. We're all blazing. And we went from, like, you know, a lot, very limited seating to now cramming everything in.
You could ride a skateboard, like, safely slaloming through.
Absolutely. And then now it's a gauntlet again. And I remember you're like, I'm looking and I'm seeing tables and tables and tables. I go, and it's not that we can't do it because of the guidelines. It's because of people's perception when they come in. Sure. And as soon as the owner had a vision and he's like, you know, packing in. And then as soon as, he's not there to set that up. He's just there to.
Yeah. And he makes
as,
the
phone call. Yeah, exactly. He makes a cold call, set it up like it was before. And then as soon as he walks in the building, you can see he changed. Oh, no, this isn't what I wanted. I feel like he, you know, and then he started pulling them back out again because he realized probably that it was too much too fast.
Yeah.
And then maybe the perception of the people. But it's good. Like, you know, he saw that there was something, you know what? This is wrong and I'm going to fix it. And that's why. And then that kind of put a little bit of a kind of like because I go, I don't like this. This is too much too soon in my estimation.
It is.
And, but again, it's not my decision to make. So, and you know.
Hey, yo, he said put the tables in.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. He says, do it. Absolutely. he says, do it. I'm there for it. But it just is, that was the thing that gave me trepidation going into the weekend that I was like, oh my God, I hope this isn't the case. Because people might walk in and go, you know, this ain't for me. This is too tight. I mean, I'm not saying that you guys are breaking the rules, but it is, it's not comfortable for me.
You're borderlining it. You're in the gray.
Yeah.
It's not black or white. You're in the gray.
Whether you stay or not. You know what I mean? Like that's your voice. That's what I when I'm at a restaurant and they cheese me off, man. I don't say anything. I'm just not coming back.
100%.
And guess what? Guess what I'm telling my friends?
Time to go.
Yeah, same thing.
You fucked up. Sorry.
That's all good. Yeah,
that's the best part. I feel like everybody has this new mentality now that I got to tell them what's going on. I need to. Yeah. I'm going to tell. Listen, the best thing you do is I'm not going to even tell you I'm not coming back, but I am never coming back.
And isn't that the worst? You know what I mean? Because it's a worse result for them. Absolutely. Because you don't even know what you did wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like not, you do, but you,
you're not giving them or yourself an opportunity to correct the situation.
That's why you got to do right in the first place.
How was everything? It was terrific. Thank you so much. Never coming back here. Never coming back here. Seriously, I'm always with a straight face. How was it? Excellent. Excellent. Even though I'm like this thing, clearly I took like one spoonful of your awful, you know, whatever soup or what you, I don't know.
You know, I didn't like it.
So many items I've had in my life that have been just awful.
Yeah.
How many, like, how can you just mess up such awful like things that are so basic? You're simple. Like, you can't mess this up.
Yeah.
And someone finds a way. Because where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, they oversimplify something that's simple.
No. They overcomplicate.
That's
simple
what I meant
things.
To say. Yes, I flipped you the wrong way.
Like when they last week we talked about my avocado toast that had strawberries on it.
Yeah, man, that's extra.
And I was like, come on, man, like I was
He was hurt.
Absolutely. I picked it off, and guess what? How was it? Oh, it was great.
It was great. Terrific. Never going to have it again. Never going to be here.
Never going to be here. Never gonna
Good
be
luck.
Here.
Mental note, not
you're
going to
need
place.
It.
Exactly. You don't do too much.
You're going to need some luck if you put strawberries on avocado toast.
Like, seriously, man. Somebody there should better know better. Come on now. You know, and it's funny that you said that you mentioned people not knowing what they want, right? I had a table. It was brunch. And we pour champagne. That's what we do.
Bubbles.
Your glass is there. We're going to pour it. That's my job. She comes around. She's covering her glass. She's covering her glass. I said, well, would you like me to take the glass away? Oh, no. I said, well, what is it that you do want? Because you keep drinking it. So I keep pouring. Yeah,
absolutely. That's what I do too as well. Because the thing is, I see low, it's my cue to pour.
Yeah, that's
so they're
the
like,
job.
Oh, no more. I go, would you like me? What would you like? You need a placeholder? Would you like me to get you a glass of water or a big Coke or something in order? Because that's our instinctual thing is to
Thank
pour.
You. So I asked, I said, what is it that you want me to do? Because
just let
you
them pour it and don't touch it.
No, the worst of that is when someone pushes the plate away from themselves and then you try to take it and they're like, don't you see that everybody else is still eating? And because obviously in certain, you know,
cultures,
you want to make sure that everybody's done eating before you clear the table. But once you push the plate away, now it's on. Now it's no longer want that.
Exactly.
There. So I'll even ask, may I take this out of your way? And then you get those people that wanted you to not do that. They just wanted you to go grab it and they wanted to have some kind of interaction with you that tells you, oh, what are you doing? And I go, no. I go, may I clear this out of your way? And then they're troubled because they wanted that engagement. And then I stole it from them. That is a perfect word.
It is as if you thought that me clearing the plate was offensive. It's just as offensive for you to push it to the side if your friend is still eating. Absolutely. You keep that freaking thing right in front of you.
You think they're going to be that self-reflective, though? They're not that introspective about themselves. They're introspective about us.
Yeah. That's true. I had a first date on Saturday.
Oh.
Dude, they were there almost 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Like, with their one drink and their entrees.
For dinner on Saturday. Oh, got it.
And normally, you know, you go out to dinner. It's a date thing. Mm-hmm. I get it. But when I come up and you say, and I could tell it was a first date. And it's my job, you know, here. But at some point, it ain't a park bench.
Oh, 100%.
Okay? Like, if you want to talk, go talk in the parking lot. Mm. We're running a business here, and unfortunately, I need something to do. You know,
4 hours is extreme.
It's extreme.
No, the thing is, people take advantage of the things that we allow them to do for us. I think I was listening to one of your podcasts recently, and you were talking about the food tax. And it reminded me, I'd been in Japan before, and you were talking about they charge you to go into the bar. There's a bar that's about, you know, you can sit about maybe 7 people, and there's one little bartender, and you have to pay to walk in the door. So let's say it's $12. Okay. Cover charge to walk in. And I think that I couldn't figure it out in that moment, but they just don't want you to bar hop. They want you to come in there, create an atmosphere, and just spend that time there instead of like the American thing where we go, we go to this bar, and then we go bar hop to the other bar, and then you go to bar hop over there, which again, it's a different experience, and I enjoyed both of them, but I would have probably, if there wasn't a cover charge, I wouldn't have hopped from spot to, I would have hopped from spot
yeah,
to spot.
Kind of yeah, yeah,
whereas I created this camaraderie with everybody that walked into this tiny little 7 spot. They can't even tell you how tiny it was.
Yeah.
And you're right there. I don't know why I segue into that, but
it's interesting because like you're invested with a cover charge, right?
Yes, you're invested. Yeah. You're invested, and it creates like a little bit of a camaraderie with other people that decided to invest in the same thing you did.
Yeah,
our time together here.
That's interesting.
Now, was there anything incentive for the cover charge? Was it like music or anything like that?
No. I mean, they'll give you like little kind of tapas style stuff, and it'll be like everything. The Japanese culture is just my favorite, and also very odd. It's like they are, there's the Japanese, and then there's the rest of the world. Everybody else,
their society is wired completely
different. Oh, yeah, they're the most odd in a good way people that I have ever met. They'll give you like little, they'll have a little plate that has like a bunch of little like candies in it, a little bit of like odd goldfish that are like, but again, everything's a little package. Mm-hmm. Everything is like, and it's a different experience than I've ever seen anything. So you don't really get too much other than, you know, a couple of things here, you know. Yeah. You'll buy the bartender a shot, and the bartender was just amazing. I ended up going to another one on another day, and then, you know, and again, it was cool as well. But yeah, it's just that culture is just like on another planet.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I got away from your...
No, that's why it's a round table.
Sorry. This is what we're here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's what we wanted.
Good.
I kind of was thinking about, you know, the things we overhear at tables. And in my mind, I'm like, this guy is not going to get laid. You
know, oh, time, my you know? Goodness. You're so right. Because, I see it all the time.
Because
all
he was time. Like, he wasn't even putting being their, a put, dude yeah, yeah, at yeah. that point. He was being more of a woman than a woman. You know, like, oh, whatever you want. Oh, I guess I... And I was thinking, like, this is, like, her stuff is drying up right now. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you're shooting yourself in the foot, dude. Come on, man. I'm trying to help you out here.
Get it together.
Man, no, don't
I present the wine to him, and he's like, oh, what do you think? I was like, oh, Jesus, bro. Like,
meanwhile, you know what to do to try to make him look good.
Yes.
And we go out our way to do it. And then sometimes they'll screw you on the tip, too. Or they'll screw you on the tip, and dude, you're like, did I not try to just help you out?
Yes. I'm trying to, you know, I'm pouring her wine. I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to get her drunk, and, you know, but you gotta take it home. You gotta sell it, you know. You're not selling,
I get
you're it. Overselling staying here too long.
Yeah.
And you know, and the way he was sitting,
there's a movement to it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Fluid motion.
And guess what? And she's giving me the eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh dude, I can take a girl right now, bro, but
this time you should be leaving. She's in that prime real estate mode.
The thing is, when I see the women are so disinterested, they don't care that this guy's dropping like $200
that hurts.
On anything at all, and she's just almost like, with her hands crossed, staring into
no good
the
body language. Oblivion.
Nothing. They just, I would rather be anywhere else than here.
Yeah.
But it's like they look like they lost the bet, and they're just like, I'm going through the motions. I'm going through the motions. I told them I'd be here. I showed up on time. I got dressed. And I'm here.
Yeah.
And I see that all the time.
That's why I do not like to go out to dinner on dates.
Okay.
Too much of an investment in time. You got drinks out of me. That's it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, because you can pull the ripcord real quick.
Yeah.
You just give them the check on the bartender, your little check sign. And you're like, oh, it was great to meet you.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
my thing before was, if it was a girl that I wanted, and again, I basically talked to a little bit before, and this is, you know, I used to do a lot more dating back then. Mm-hmm. So I would be like a 3-stage process. We'd start off for drinks. Everything was always in limbo, and they never knew what we were going to do. We were going to go for dinner. We were going to go for drinks. We were going to do something, but nothing in specific or where we were going to go. Yeah. I'll pick you up here, and then we'll go from there.
Exactly.
So we'd go to the first place, and we'd end up like, you know, at the SLS or something. We'd have that, and it'd be like a sushi bar on the second floor that no one knows about. And then we'd have a couple drinks. They're like, oh, were we gonna eat? I go, no, we're not getting here. And then we go to another spot because we had finished our drinks, we had a good time, and then we go to another spot, and then we end up having dinner there. And once we have dinner there, and they're like, oh, look, we can have dessert. No, we're not having dessert here. What, are you crazy? Yeah. And then now we've had drinks there, we had drinks here, we've chatted it up. By the third place we go to, now we're having dessert. And then you're like, oh, no, I know another place, like, you know, we can go after that. So by the fourth place you've gone to, there's like, yo, we've been on 4 dates with this guy by now. They think that in that moment that how much experiences and things have you seen. You've seen 4 different waiters, 2 different bartenders. Yeah. You've seen a scenery change around you this entire time. You're like, you know what?
She's been cover charge with you. She's invested.
Yeah. No, and now you've given her an experience. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know. And you can tell if the woman is disinterested. I'm not oblivious to that. And that whenever I do that, that has never been the case. 0 times have I ever been like, yo, this ain't working out. And it was always a deal. It was always a wrap every time.
That's good. I mean, I have not been on many dates. I've not dated a lot. Mm-hmm. But if I do, I can't think of... The only worst date is a movie. I don't like... Restaurants are for people that I like already established. Yeah. You know? Gotcha. I like being across from them.
Exactly.
I know I could deal with them for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's like a tightrope. Dealing, you know, is she gonna laugh at my jokes? You know, is she interesting? You know, does she chew with her mouth open? Is she cordial? Will she reach for the check? I just need a reach. You don't gotta pay, but just offer. You know, when you sit back, you go to the bathroom or something, or leave your purse in the car. Nah, but
that's great.
Yeah, so this first day they stayed, and he's just like yakking it up, and I don't know if I heard her voice one time, bro.
Mm. Oh,
you know, it was just like, and then I drop the check, and he does the old like puts it to the side disinterestedly and put his cell phone on it. I'm like, okay, I know this game. I'm not gonna get another turn anyway. I'm gonna do my side work. I do my side work, and you're still sitting there like an hour later. I'm like, nah, you gotta go, bro.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Wrap it up,
B. Exactly. I don't want you to listen. You got to go to another spot after this. I'm pretty sure. Do you need some recommendations?
Right.
I know some late night spots.
Yeah, come on now. Because like you said, you need movement. You need dynamics. But if you're just milking this one dry freaking nut.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It's stagnant. It's stale. It's just, you know. And you only live. So basically, it was the drinks. And 2 entrees, no dessert. Basically, it was her in this dry conversation with this weak dude, weak sauce.
And he's talking to himself pretty much at this point.
Yeah.
For 4 hours.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, because you know she's not listening.
Yeah. After an hour, you're not listening.
No, bro. I don't even... I think that I find it funny when I see how terrible it is and they're oblivious to the fact. Like, how many times am I going to hear, I've made it into a stage in my life right now. And I've heard that statement a million times. Yeah. I might have heard it 12 times this weekend.
Yeah.
When people like, you know, listen, we get it. And there's certain kind of things that... you know, the females do and that males do the same counterpart of, and they both annoy the shit out of me. But if I have to hear one more time, well, I've reached a point in my life, and like, we're like, now she knows what she wants. I go, you're 40. No idea. You're 40. It's about time.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, you
still have no idea.
No, they don't.
They don't.
They don't.
Because they compromise.
Who does, honestly?
It's a constant contradiction.
They all saw themselves as Emily Ratajkowski, and then all of a sudden now they're a couple years older, and now they're like, oh, I'm trying to settle down a little. I go, you were never Emily Ratajkowski, and you know, you do need to settle down.
Yes, please do settle down.
Do us all a favor.
And can we put to bed the old, like, you know, a bunch of girls, like, you could be a 10 top, a 12 top, and they get their drinks, these girls, right, and they all have their phones out already. And then they all cheers with the boomerang, you know. It's just enjoy the experience for there. Or phones, one of you do it and send it to the other.
It's out of control.
It's out. We got to put that to bed, man. Though.
It's the social media aspect of dining is just, it's way too much.
Okay.
For me.
Mm-hmm. How many pictures of food can you take? I take pictures of food for myself.
How many pictures of yourself can you take?
A lot of times.
Unlimited, that's another one.
Right? Unlimited. Unlimited. With different, and they stick the butt out. It's like nobody cares.
And that's obnoxious.
It's out of control. Obnoxious.
I mean,
I've met beautiful girls, and it turns me off. Like, I'd be like, oh, she went into selfie mode, and then I just didn't want to go back to the table.
Listen, I make fun of people when they're on their phones. I go, you guys just texting each other? I say it all the time, and they're like, ooh, what? You know?
You know, a good phone story actually from this weekend. There was a table of seven inside, and this particular round table with seven is like already stretching how tight you can do, especially for a brunch where you can't just, you have so much stuff. They walk in, and then there was only four of the seven. I'm like, oh, that's while you're waiting for the rest of your... I try not to do anything until the party is there.
Yes.
Did you guys not come out to be together?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't, you know, so you'll have like, you'll have the four people say it. I'm like, oh, I'll give you this. He goes, oh, is it unlimited? I go, well, let me, like, I'm trying to tell them what it is, and they're talking over me, right? So I said, well, we have this, and this. It's unlimited, and it's all inclusive. And then the other woman goes, oh, but what about this? And shows me a picture on her phone with a $45 brunch price. I go, that hasn't been $45 in a decade.
Yeah, where'd you find that old picture?
I don't know where'd you find that picture.
Oh my gosh. But,
and I said, oh, so this isn't it? And I go, it's $70. It's all inclusive, and it's the only option we have.
Yeah,
I like being direct. Because I find that people, like you go to a restaurant or somewhere, and like, let's say it's a Chili's, and you're like, oh, do you guys have sushi? I'm so sorry. We don't sell sushi. Why are you apologizing for something that, a service that you do not provide?
Yeah.
We don't do that here.
People in a restaurant always ask me for like chips and sauce. I go, this is a Mexican, man.
No, but the my thing, do you apologize for not having chips? Do you say, sorry, I don't have chips?
No.
No, I'm sorry. But I've seen that a lot where I see these servers are constantly, oh, I'm so sorry.
You open up yourself for domination.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am very respectful always, and very, I want them to have a great experience. I want them to tip me well. I want them to return. But I don't mess around when it comes to that. I go, I'm very direct. I go, no, it's $70. It's all inclusive. It's the only option you have.
And your tone matters. It's I play these shadow games, right? And because I have a psychology background, and it's the reason why I never bend over at a table. I never kneel at a table.
Oh, that's terrible.
If I can't hear you, I ask you to speak up. I don't lend my ear to you.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good.
Because you need to look at me. You need to respect me, and I'm an authority figure as far as you, without me saying it.
Yeah.
You know? So I said, I'm sorry. Like, that's why it bothers me when, and you heard me say this, when people talk, like, cross-talk to themselves as if they're speaking to me.
Oh, yeah.
I go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did you order something?
Yeah, who are you?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was bald here.
Right?
I'm just hovering here.
Exactly. So I don't bend over. Unless the person is a child or an older person, I don't need to, you know, have that relationship with them. But if you're an able-bodied person who can turn their head
and speak,
you need to speak directly to me and audibly enough for me to speak. And I stand straight. Yep. And then
posture.
and then I move.
From person to person.
Because there's a psychology trick where you have influence. Your influence is related to proximity. They did studies where they'll have a like a room, right? And they'll have a guy presumably shock someone on the other side.
Oh yeah, I know this.
That you can't see, right? Mm-hmm. So in one half of the study, the voice would be on a box, and like, you know, just mm-hmm. over a speaker, and then the actor on the other side will feign pain. Mm-hmm. So it'll go up a level, and the subject is supposed to do this. And then and there's a point where the person will stop and say, oh my gosh, I can't, and maybe they stop at level 5 or whatever. But when the person is standing over them in the room, they'll go all the way up to level 10 and presumably shocking the crap out of this person. So proximity has something to do with your level of authority over someone to do things. So I use all these things in my career to really, you know, because I get people who try stuff, you know, and with other servers, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, you lost in the beginning because it's a battle. People size you up.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not consciously, but they are always sizing you up. So when I come up to the table, my goal is to command. It doesn't always work. It doesn't always work, but 80%, 90%, I'm okay with that.
Oh, absolutely. Those are good results. Those are good results.
I mean, and plus it depends on where you are. And sometimes if you have, you know, combat with people like that table with the I ate the whole thing and stuff like that. You know, I feel bad for bartenders, man. He's like, oh, my drink. He just keeps talking about it's being strong. Like, you know, I want another one. But say you want another one, it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
Are you ordering a double? No, I want it strong. I don't understand.
Yeah, like when people ask you for less ice, like less ice doesn't mean more vodka.
No, exactly.
No, it's not.
No, what do you like? So tell me, I'm here. So I bring my book out, and it's one of the reasons why I write stuff down. You know, it makes it feel official. And I said, so
absolutely.
So you just make it strong, and I said, how? You know, It's a legitimate question.
I've never said that. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, he said, make it strong. I say, how? And he said, pour more. So I said, you want a double? And they say, no. Then I said, okay, so I'll order you a so-and-so. And then, you know, and if they want to go through that round again, I'll ask them how again.
Absolutely.
And at one point, I told the guy, I said, I press buttons. So, you know, I can press a drink or a double. But I can't go to my bartender and say, hey, you know, this guy's a jerk. Can you make it strong?
Absolutely.
I can certainly say, oh, these people are awesome. They're great to me, blah, 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 blah. Can we hook them up? Or I talk to my manager. Can we buy him a drink and stuff like that?
Buy him a completely full drink. You can have another one. We'll buy for you. But not, we're not going to just all of a sudden start giving you more alcohol for free for no reason. No.
We're not in business. That we would close our doors.
We are a business.
And was it you that said you had a... So, I guess it's a two-part thing, right? I've watched a number of your videos. Were you the one that said you can't stand when somebody says, you know, hey, can I be in a... Can you put me in a quiet place or
no, I don't think that was me.
Okay, it wasn't you. But, you know, if we put you in a quiet place, that means we're... We're dead.
Yeah,
we're close to closing.
Like, this isn't a library. We're not. Are you doing some reading? I worked at this restaurant where it was like eating at a nightclub, and it was a nightclub that sold you sushi. It was bright light. It was lights. It was like flashing lights. Kung Fu movies like being projected onto a screen. It's dark though as well. And it's loud, DJ playing as you're eating your sushi kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you should know what you got into.
He goes, and then you get these people that are once in a while, they're older, that walk into this place. Mm. And they're like, oh, can you guys, you know, turn down? Hey, listen, this place is low lit and loud. If those things are not for you, this place is not for you. Because you saw what you walked into. Yeah. This was not this. Yeah. You knew what you were getting into, and now you want to change our atmosphere for you.
Yeah.
Low lights, loud music. If that ain't for you, you gotta go.
Yeah.
If I remember, we're talking about things. We're talking about table. My thing that kills me is incomplete parties being sat. It is a business killer.
It is.
Get people to show up on time. Get your friends, not only us. You wait in the front. Do you want to get sat? Get on the phone right now and start calling your friends.
Go to the bar. Yes, sir. Grab a drink.
You know what you should have been doing yesterday? You should have been calling your friends and reminding them, guys, be on time. I'm going to be there on time.
Yeah.
I don't want to be waiting outside. Or go wait at the bar and have some drinks there until the party is not. If you don't get there on time, then you got to wait for the next seating.
Now, that's the weakness of the hostesses, because they know they're not supposed to. And I yell at them every chance I get, because it extends your efforts at a table for nothing.
Yeah. Because they just want to get them out of – they want them out of their hair.
Yeah, yes. No, they don't want to deal with them
because they're getting pressured. Look, I think that the hostess position is – listen, as you're saying, you know, I just think that they deal with every single person in that building. And they don't get paid enough. But they deal with us. They deal with the management. They deal with every guest that walks in the door and out the door. Mm-hmm. They promise the guest a good experience, and as they're walking out, hopefully that happened. And if not, they're going to let them know about it.
Yeah.
They got to deal with the valet guy. They got to deal with everyone. So I always have a soft spot for the hostesses, because I realize that it's a very difficult job. Not necessarily especially for the people that we have doing it. Generally, it's a young woman in her late teens to early 20s that really hasn't lived life a lot and hasn't had to deal with all these. And meanwhile, they're going to create and get some incredible life experiences for this time that they gathered here. For whatever they decide to do in the rest of their life, it's going to help them a great deal. But it's a rough position. But telling people they got to show up on time or we do not see you. I had a six top that came in. It was a birthday or something. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got the little thing, little chip with the little birthday on it. And then four of them said, I go, folks, here's a couple of the menus. The menu offers is in the front. The cocktail list on the back. If you'd like some cocktails while you're waiting for the rest of the party. Oh, no, we're not waiting for them. I go, what do you mean? They go, we'll have a calamari. I go, first of all, I didn't ask about calamari. I didn't ask about food. I said, well, if we'd like a drink while you're waiting for the rest of your party.
Yeah.
You can tell me yes or you can tell me no. Calamari is not a response to something I just said to you. So the guy was a little snappy. He was a little snappy. He's like, well, what do you mean you can't do it? Well, sir, generally I try to take the full order together, appetizers, entrees, and everything, so I can better course your meal and you all have a good experience. If a part of your party isn't here, I can't accomplish that.
Mm.
Okay? So they're like, oh, well, so it means you can't. I go, I will do it if you need me to, but it's going to jeopardize your experience. And I'd like you to have the best experience possible.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right. But the thing is, by then, I've backed them into the wall that they can't. They see that I'm trying to be nice, even though I'm not giving what they want. Yeah. But if you do not set a tone from
you
the beginning.
You have to set a tone.
They are going to manhandle you all over the place.
Yeah.
And then that's what I'm saying. That's when I look now and I realize, you know, I look through my eyes and don't realize how old I am now. I still think I'm that 20-year-old kid that first started, or 17-year-old kid that started waiting tables. I know now that, hey, you just like yourself, all the tactics that you use. I don't have a psychology degree or anything, but I've read a little bit about things, and I do know how things should work. And if you do not take control of these tables, they will manhandle. I don't care if it's a little old lady or a big dude. Manhandle you every time.
Yeah.
If you let them.
And sometimes it's a runaway train, but the incomplete parties are, and I respect the restaurants that don't do it, that stick to it. Good for you.
Or there's got to be a ton of cash involved. So that's where I like the host. I've worked at places where if you throw some cash, they go seat you, and I'm fine with that. I'm willing to look the other way for the hostess to make a little more money.
Making money, girl. But for me, I'm not really. Thank God, I really am choosy about who I want to spend my time with, especially over a meal. But If you're late.
Yes, it's awful. I was waiting outside for like 15 minutes. Because I hate being late anywhere. I feel it's disrespectful because your time and your time is precious to you.
Yeah.
And my time is precious to me. Listen, is there a possibility there could have been an accident on the road and I could be a little late? There's a possibility.
But you got that 15
yeah,
minute buffer.
Yeah, but I got the little 15 minute buffer. And then again, maybe the accident is even more. You can accept a one-time infraction.
Yeah.
But if you're like, hey, Danny, let's go to the movies. If you show up there, I liked watching the trailers. Again, this is pre-COVID, by the way. I like watching trailers.
Yeah, I like when a movie starts, you should always you want to see the trailers. That's some of the best part.
If you miss my trailers,
because that's when you know what's going on. That's the best time to see it and get that theater experience.
I want the trailers, the post credits, everything. I want it all.
Absolutely, because the thing is, you chose to be with this individual. You decided to spend time with somebody and share that time, and they're basically disrespecting you by saying 100%. And I think it's such a huge character flaw when people are just so I was just a little late. No. Listen, you're not dismissing the time. You're dismissing me.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to do this again. I'll give you another opportunity. And then after you do this again, it's a wrap. We're not doing this again.
I find people who are constantly late, they tend to be very self-centered. Mm. Because when you arrive, everybody's been waiting on you.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry I'm late. You're not sorry.
Scarlett Johansson's here.
You weren't doing anything before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you stopped what the time ahead, like, you could have been doing something, then you rushed around. And that's your excuse. You say, this happened and that happened, but you had all day.
Yeah.
You know? I find them to be very, very self-centered, constant late people. And it's disrespectful, and I take it personally because I tend to value other people's time, and what comes out of my mouth, I want it to be a bond. So when I say I will be there at,
mm-hmm.
I'm pulling up, man.
Absolutely.
Because that's my. I told you I was going to be here at so and so. And when I'm waiting, I'm like, okay. Some people in your life you can't avoid it.
Yeah, that's you have to have it. Yeah, thing. Yeah. Some people. Yeah, but the ones you can't avoid, you limit. Listen, everybody gets scratched off all the time. I think we all have our own rules about things that how we conduct our lives. And I go, you do that? Sorry. Like, listen, I don't know if you guys smoke cigarettes or not. That's a problem for me. Like, if you smoke cigarettes, like, and especially like on the what I'm saying is, as a regular, I go, I can't be around you.
Yeah,
am I supposed to avoid you for every 20 minutes or whatever you decide to do? Then I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So everybody has their own set of rules, and my rules might be those, you know, they're just to me, and they shouldn't be forever.
A woman, son, for
that's it.
Hey, listen, I'm the same way. I got my quirks, and my circle is shrunken over the years, bro. I have a very small circle, but guess what? I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm completely fine with it. So tell everybody, you know, you do your diatribes on social. What was the premise? What was the impetus for it?
Well, what happened was I find it that I like talking. And I like and even now I'm struggling a little bit because honestly it's the first time. I mean, it's the first time I've met Danny, and I don't know how I've heard your show before, but I also I haven't heard it with anybody else there.
Yeah.
And so I haven't heard a lot of them. So for me, I don't want to also be. I don't want to be the third wheel. I want to be. I also don't want to overpower and start. I know how chatty I can be, so I try to calm it down. But so I. Went before COVID happened, right after COVID happened, I just had 3 months without doing anything, and I miss talking to people. Mm-hmm. I like that engagement. Mm-hmm. I ask people questions often, and I look in their eyes and they look like I'm trying to pry into their personal life and they always feel like they guard themselves, like mm-hmm. you're going to be judgmental of the things that they do. And that's not what I do. The reason I ask is because I want to know how people live their lives. I'm like, hey, how are you shopping? Like, do you go to Publix? Do you go to Winn-Dixie? Why do you go there versus the other place? Or do you like how are the characteristics of these things?
Mm-hmm.
And I found it that people were just felt like you were being invasive of them. So what I decided to do, I was like, you know, I'm going to just put my thoughts out there and then people can choose to talk about it and with me or not. But either way, it's great to have a conversation with somebody. I try to make it in a way where it's a conversation, but there's nothing coming back the other way. You can choose to be opinionated about it in one way, but not. I don't have to answer to you, or you don't have to answer to me. And that's it. And I enjoy doing them. I like it. I like it. And I've kind of realized that I'm going in a certain direction, and I'll eventually get where I go. But it's only for entertainment, and I like it. I like doing it.
Share your social information.
Oh, I don't even want to do that right now. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But yeah, listen, honestly, I appreciate you've watched a few, and I appreciate that. And I just listen. It's awesome. I enjoy it, and I enjoy this. Man, this is awesome. You guys got this is
hey,
great.
I mean, so to answer to what your concerns were about the dynamic and things like that, I choose people who I think have an opinion and something to say. And you've always had an opinion, and you always had something to say. That's why I invited you.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
But I don't think that we want any type of mold ever here, because it's all authentic, you know? So what happens is a little bit of a high wire act, because when it's not the both of us, the dynamic does change, but that's the whole point, you know? What we do isn't a controlled environment at all. So we're used to that feeling. And I have avoided it for a while, you know. Danny goes with the flow, but I do have the comfort level of just him and I. Okay. But also, I want to learn. I want to learn from other people. I have not done everything in this industry, or do I even have the impetus to?
Yeah.
So as I profess to be a teacher of sorts, I have to learn, and you can directly influence people by having a guest on that can have a different perspective on things like that. And I do thank you for coming, and I appreciate and I value your time.
Absolutely.
And, thank you so much. It's really nice to meet you.
Pleasure was all mine, really.
Awesome, man. Thank you for having me, everyone, for tuning in. And if you do like the show, please, please, please pass it on. That's the way that you can, support us at this time. You can also rate us, give us 5 stars.
Only.
And if not, there's no reason to say anything. It's like walking out of a restaurant saying everything was fine, just don't come back.
Oh, that's a great point. Huh?
You know what I mean? Because there's no reason. I'm all about being positive. You know what I mean? If there's constructive criticism, all day. I'm not fragile. I'll take it. You know, but we do love hearing from you. We do get people that write to us that's valuable to me. So,
yeah, for sure.
You know, you don't have to do it by pen and paper. All you have to do is get online, get on that email, themodernwaiter@gmail.com. Or I'm always on Instagram. I post several times a week, and you can find me at The Modern Waiter Podcast. And I'm Marlon Joseph, The Modern Waiter.
I'm Dane DeVilla. And subscribe, 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 people.
We will see you next week.
Later.
Fire. Obsessed, baby. BMR all day. You know we got it. Every day, hot day. Your man, Mr. Quick. Check it. Now here we go. They say, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. I say I'm a veteran, and niggas know I'm better.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.